Now, I'm reading this because so many people in that Dell video were telling us, the employees, they don't have any power. The employers have all the powers. Okay, they do, but it's more employees than there is employers. And so around the world and around the country, they start just saying, all right, bet, we'll just keep on moving around. We'll take less money to work when we want to. And some of y'all need us to do these jobs. Y'all will get the memo. I wanted to do that one just for the naysayers and the haters, the tweeters and the leaders. Not only that, that just further backed up what I said about if it was so easy to offshore on the jobs, why would they even care about making people to come back in? They just send them out of India. This video is being brought to you by Level Up in Tech. It's Q3 in 2024, but you still have time to get into the cloud. With the quick search for cloud in Indeed, you can see over 44,000 jobs are listed that is related or pertaining to the cloud. Now, that is a lot, but if you're watching this right now, you might be thinking, well, how do I learn the skills to get into the cloud? Well, we got you covered. Level Up in Tech is one of the best, if not the best, program related to getting people into the cloud. At Level Up in Tech, you can learn about server config and troubleshooting, the AWS cloud, infrastructure as code, CI/CD, scripting, containerization, and more. And also, they now also have a new multi-cloud AI engineering program that is dedicated to help you have the latest and greatest skills to help you be marketable in this tech market. They post more testimonials than almost any program that I could think of. Check them out. Now, if you're ready to start your cloud career today, then use the link in my description to go to levelupintech.com/tech so you can start your career. And plus, they'll know that I sent you. But on to the video.
Why it's imperative that companies train their employees that will be interviewing applicants that may turn into employees or whatever. So let me go to this post that I did on LinkedIn, or I could just read it and I'll just post it afterwards on this part. But I said, one thing I want companies to do a better job at is selecting who interviews potential employees of your company. These interviewers are a reflection of your company. And I was telling them about a client informed me of an interview he did recently with a security company. And this is actually an old company I used to work at, where the interviewer seemed disinterested in interviewing him. Of course, he didn't get that job, but it is so disrespectful to have people like that conducting interviews. We are taking the time out of our day to talk to you, then the best you can do is be energetic in our interviews. The companies that understand this concept usually have better talent working for them than the companies that don't. And I'm willing to stand 10 toes down about that because I've witnessed some great interviews from some great companies, and it spoke a lot to me because I pay attention to really small things when I'm interviewing with companies. When you barely talking to me, our conversation is dry, even trying to get the job, I still recommend somebody to come there if I had a good experience. When I had a bad experience, I don't want nobody to go there. But if you're on the call acting like you don't want to talk to me or you're looking at other stuff and disinterested, that's crazy. You would flame the interviewer for doing the same thing. I mean, yeah, interviewer, interviewee, I don't know. The person that's interviewing, you would flame them and say, this person, he was looking down. He acted like he didn't want to talk to us or whatever. I'm just like, in my case, if I feel like that, I just wouldn't even interview. But on your end, you should say, hey, I don't feel like interviewing people. I'm not a people person. That's not what I want to do. I've seen it plenty of times to where I've had a client record their interview and I listen to it. I'm like, this dude or this person is not welcoming to the person that they're interviewing. Therefore, they may not get the best interview out of them because these people are sometimes nervous. They had a rough day too. You have to have soft skills in order to sometimes bring the best out of people. Everybody's not a natural, I'm finna kill the interview. Everybody's different. That's what separates good leaders from bad leaders. They know how to get the best out of everybody because people work differently. And a lot of people try to treat every employee the same. And that's why they do not get a lot of good results. But I actually thought that was crazy. I don't know if you want to touch on it, Destiny.
Yeah, I've had a experience where I was just like, why are we here? Because you didn't even read my resume. So do you even want to conduct this interview right now? It was really awkward. It ended really quickly and I was happy because I knew that wasn't going to be a good fit for me. because they weren't even handling business during the interview process. So for me, it was a red flag. And funny thing is I was actually like out of town, nervous, you know, trying to do all this stuff to make sure I'm in a area where I can conduct the interview comfortably on vacation. And then I get there and it's a complete joke, waste of my time, waste of their time. So I do, especially right now, with how hard it is for people to find work, especially even like decent paying jobs. So I think if I was someone who had been laid off or struggling to find a job, when you do get an interview, you're excited about it because that's a potential opportunity. But if you get that interview and it doesn't go well and it's not because of you, it's because of the other person or the company, I just feel like it's really defeating. It feels really defeating.
I agree. But I had some people in the comments say one thing, and it was like a horrible take from some guy saying he was putting the onus back on the people interviewing, which I agree, but that's not what we were talking about. We were talking about people representing their company and not just doing the best deal of that. And then when people do things like that, it's like, okay, they already know who they want, so they're just interviewing you because they said they would interview you. So it's like, why even waste my time? Like,
yeah. Yep.
And here's a gem. If a recruiter reaches out to you for a role, what you can ask them is, because a lot of times they'll ask you, hey, are you doing any interviews? You know, how far along are you? You know, what's going on? You can ask them the same thing for the role you're interviewing for. You can say, hey, do y'all have anybody in later stages? Or, you know, what is going on with this role? You can ask them that. And I say that because that'll help you decide if you want to waste time with them or not. And if that way, if they're being honest with you, like, I'm good. You know, if y'all really later stages, y'all may like want this person and I'll just be wasting my time. It'll just kind of be like, I'm a placeholder to interview with you guys. Or if they reach out to you about multiple roles, take the one where they're more so in the early stages and try your luck with that one versus competing with people who kind of went through the gauntlet and they probably get that nod because they just want to hire them and close that rec out, I think. But we are recording this super late, guys, but I want to welcome y'all back to another episode of the Textual Talk Podcast, streaming everywhere. And if you're on YouTube, you already know what to do. Hit thumbs up, subscribe, bell icon to be notified when we're dropping everything. Or just subscribe to the Patreon. You can support the channel like that. And it's another weekly dose of tech news, reactions, you name it. So I'm HD, and we got we got Destiny with us tonight. And we're going to get it in. We've been working around each other's schedules. One day, we'll be able to record whenever we want to. But that day is not today. So, Destiny, I know you wanted to talk about briefly talk about Afrotech. I believe it's in, 3 months?
Yes, it is. Who's going? If you're going, leave a comment. Where are you staying? When you getting there? Where you partying at? No, all jokes aside, though. Who is really going to Afrotech? I am in the air. Right now, I'm planning to be in Houston. That's what I have right now. I haven't purchased a ticket yet. Looking at the prices, they range from $250 if you're a student. If you want to do a corporate ticket, they're $950. The executive ticket is $1050. General access $450. I did see that they has a cybersecurity and AI event that are on Thursday and Friday all day. So that absolutely did pique my interest to kind of see what they have on the agenda here. I honestly haven't done a ton of research on it. I do want to figure out who's going to be the speakers to figure out if the topics they'll be talking about is something that I'll be interested in. Planning to be in Houston though for networking purposes. So I will be around, but maybe next pod I'll confirm if I'm going or not.
Yeah, I probably would not go again unless one or two things work pay for it or I pay for it myself from like business standpoint, and I had content lined up to shoot there. I think that'd probably be the only worthwhile thing to do because I probably could knock out two or three like videos a day with different people if I wanted to. But yeah, I would say try to get work to pay for it for you. Hopefully you get a corporate card and eat good out there. They have some cool parties. I actually left a little early. I missed like the concert portion of it. I think that was the day after I left. But I think it'd be cool. I think this year it being in Houston, ideally, I think it should have been in Dallas. But that's just me kind of being biased. But I'm actually only saying that because I think Dallas's downtown might be a little bit more downtownsy and more professional than Houston's. But Houston has a bigger Black population. So I can see, you know, that the fact that they moved it from white Atlanta to Houston, they're trying to have it in like a Black places. But I think they got a good deal because I'm surprised that they just say, let's do it in D.C. Or Atlanta. Like,
I'm not messing with Atlanta, so they ain't got to worry about me. No, absolutely not. I'm not an Atlanta hater, but like, I don't enjoy Atlanta. Like, I enjoy going and like seeing my family, but like going out, no, thank you. It's too much for me. I'm a really simple girl. I don't have time for all of that.
You sound like Kendrick Lamar. You are the biggest hater. Let me see. Because there's some stuff we were supposed to talk about that we didn't get to. So here's another one before we get into some of these other fun articles. This was on my Twitter a couple of weeks ago. And a recruiter was saying this was a red flag. And so I like to talk about things like this because oftentimes people are applying to jobs, talking to recruiters, and they're trying to see like, why did I go to the next round or what's going on? I know I'm a good fit. What is going on? So this particular person, I don't even know if she's a recruiter or not. I'm looking at her stuff. An initial conversation is far too early for either side to be discussing compensation. Best to first determine if there's a mutual fit. If it is, compensation generally works itself out and both sides typically are far more flexible. If a candidate was only interested in knowing the compensation, I wouldn't put them forward. If they come to you for a price, they'll leave you for price. So now that I'm actually looking at this, when I had screenshot this, I thought she was a recruiter, but she's somebody that works in educational psychology. So I know that a lot of people who are not in, we say finance, tech, corporate America, whatever, right? We just put it like this because I don't deem education per se to be corporate. I think it's a little bit different. They don't understand how customary it is to say, hey, what's the salary? Like a lot of times when I get reached out to, I'm like, okay, send me the job description. What's the salary? Because they'll try to get my resume. I'm like, it's too much fugazi stuff going on with that. Let me know what the salary is first. And then I decide it's even worth my time. That, like, I don't care about, no, like, you're talking about coming for price. Who wouldn't come for price?
Preach. Let's not waste each other's time. You need to hire someone for this role and I need to get some money. So what's up?
Exactly. And it actually reminds me of, for those who've been following me on all social media platforms, I received first of all, now we're getting to like to recruiters or fake recruiters now that we have out there. This is fake recruiting scams going on where people are texting people acting like they're recruiters for certain companies. And I'm just going to tell you, do your due diligence. Last Saturday, I had someone send me a text from a number I didn't recognize. So first of all, every time I get an unknown text from somebody and I see an area code I don't recognize, I always Google it. I was like, I don't know nobody there. So that's red flag number one. Number two, they messaged me like Saturday afternoon. And I think I'm about to watch boxing or something at the time. And they're talking about, hi, I'm Lara Poole. I'm from Robert Half International Recruitment, and we have a remote job opportunity. If you don't mind, can I share the details with you? So I'm so unserious because you want to waste my time, I'm going to waste yours. I sent them a picture back of Jonathan Majors looking at Michael Ealy, hug, making good. Now, they never replied to that. But there are people that are very desperate that fall for these things. I had a former client one time almost fall for a scam. And I was like, if this job trying to pay you all this money this fast and you ain't got an interview or nothing, it's too easy. It's a red flag.
I think you had liked something on LinkedIn that made me see it. It was a Black guy who actually got scammed with a job opportunity that he thought. And he was just putting like some things that you should look out for. It's really ugly right now. And people are really doing that. And it's getting, it's going as far as sending, people are sending in their like driver's license, passports, birth certificates, social security cards, you know, to verify their, for the employment verification. And so if it's just people file, people are file. I know it's tough, but you make sure you do your due diligence. If something feels uncomfortable or weird or fishy, you know, ask questions or back out of it. Because I actually, this is a, this is not exactly related, but I went to get a new phone from Apple and like a replacement, and I got there. They never charged me for it. And so I came home, like obviously not thinking anything of it. I left like while the phone was still updating, like just oblivious. So I'm home that night, Apple calls and they're like, yeah, you didn't pay. Can you pay? And I'm like, what Apple store is this? I'm gonna call y'all back before I make any payment. Cause I know I didn't pay, but at the same time, that could have been in my head. That could have been anybody calling, like anybody could have picked up my phone in the store. That's all I was thinking. So I ended up asking who I was speaking to, Googled the number obviously, and called back to make sure I was actually talking to the Apple store before I gave them my payment details. But yeah, stuff like that. If you don't, if you hang up and call back quick, because if they need you to do it, you calling back is not going to stop it from getting done. It's still going to get done.
Nah, that's facts. And I know even if we go past that, like I think I put on Twitter, I'm saying, hey, ever since the AT&T breach, I feel like I've been getting all these weird text messages where people are trying to fish for information from me. They'll say, hey, let's go grab some dinner tonight. Oh, and they are wanting you to say, oh, this is so-and-so or wrong number. And I just normally say wrong number. And they say, oh, sorry, because I'm never telling them who I am, because they're probably trying to figure out who they, are they texting the right person so they can keep on texting me.
I report them because it's just going to, yeah, you're going to get another one tomorrow. You're going to get another one tomorrow. And I was getting the like the Snapchat text messages. And there were people who were like actually my friends on Snapchat. Like people I know would be like recent people I would be communicating with. And they'd be like, so-and-so added a picture. And at first I didn't think anything of it because I'm just so busy. I'm not even paying attention to text messages. And then one day I was like, I never in my life signed up for this these messages to be sent to my phone number. So what is going on? And once I peeped through, some of the names of the people that I know that are like their Snapchat names were not exact. Like they were off.
It really works. It is.
The Apple email stresses me out. I'm not going to lie. It really does. I mean, I feel like I personally feel like I can spot trash a mile away, but they're getting really good at it. So I've been thinking about revamping my whole email life and having all store stuff and frivolous stuff and DoorDash and subscriptions and all that trash go one spot and have all my important stuff go to another location, which is what I always try to do. But yeah, email security is popping. So if you want to get into cyber, email security is going nowhere. It's going nowhere.
So let's get into this first thing that I want to share. And it's kind of ironic. It's about ADT. So for you guys who don't know about ADT, ADT is a major home security giant. Pretty much you'll see the sign in plenty of people's yard saying secure by ADT. Now, you got to think about this, right? Depending on ADT, it's not probably as intrusive as like the Google Nest or Ring doorbells and all that kind of stuff. Those things like connect to your network and have some other inner workings where maybe somebody, if they're pretty like a good attacker, they probably can do some stuff with your home network. But the fact that ADT holds so much personal information of their customers, that makes this a big deal. And for things that I know about that's going on with ADT internally, where they are going to offshore a lot of their IT work overseas, this is a big red flag for this company. And I feel like they're going to be a sinking ship. But let's read a little bit what happened. ADT confirmed this week that it was recently hacked, compromising some customer data. The home security company did not say when the cyber attack and data breach occurred, but they disclosed that the attackers assessed the company's databases containing customer home addresses, email addresses, and phone numbers. So that's enough right there. The fact the phone numbers and that, like, imagine people selling that to somebody and they pull up on you. It's crazy. In a brief regulatory filing published late Wednesday, ADT said it had no reason to believe that customer home security systems were compromised during the incident, but ADT did not say how it reached that conclusion. The statement said a small percentage of customers are affected, but did not provide a more specific number. As of June 2024, ADT said it had 6 million customers. So, yeah, I would say this. I read this article. So, from what I gleaned from the article, only 30,000 people's information was stolen. So that is a drop in the bucket compared to 6 million. Todd Bellinger, spokesperson for ADT, via a third-party agency, declined to answer TechCrunch questions about the cyber attack and data breach. So ADT is one of the largest home security companies in the United States. It is currently owned by private equity giant Apollo Global Management, which also owns TechCrunch parent company Yahoo. So let's stop sharing on that one. But I found it to be rather interesting just based on this, because we're going to touch back on this Dell stuff, but that Dell video we did blew up and people are saying, well, if you can work remote, they will put the jobs offshore. Okay, cool. And when you do that, that don't mean the job going to be done right. I know, and I have it pretty much on good merit, that those people that's going to be taking over that stuff for ADT do not have the current experience that their current team has. So it's probably going to be a shit show, for lack of better words. So if you got ADT now, I'd just be reading what they say, drinking the tea leaves or watching the tea leaves, however this stuff go. And I'd probably be looking to go to Brinks. That's what I'd be doing. I'll go to Brinks or go to somebody else that could secure me, because they are not prioritizing your safety the way they should, because they
very small scale, honestly, compared to, like you said, compared to how many customers they actually have. So they're lucky that it was only 30,000.
Yeah. But even then it may be more, because anytime somebody always come out to us and tell us a number, it's always more.
Yeah.
It is always more. And I was reading something else. It was another hospital that was attacked. I didn't bring it up for an article, but I thought that was okay. Are y'all going to hire the people or not? Like I said, I didn't apologize to Bayless Cotton White and got denied after 20 minutes. And I was like, hopefully work day just messed up, to be honest. That's what I really think. But did you want to touch on, drum roll, please? I know this is a good one. How to opt out of the facial recognition at the airport. Did you want to touch on that?
Yes, I do. Let me share my screen.
Because it's definitely funny. Even though he didn't get arrested by facial recognition, but we know T.I. got arrested because they thought he was the Clever Harris in question. He was at the airport. Yeah, let me present.
Okay, so here we have how to opt out of facial recognition at airports, and this is only applicable to Americans. U.S. airports, as we know, they have already began rolling out facial recognition technology. If you don't remember, usually this is done right before you get ready to go through TSA, or even depending on who you fly. I think if you fly Spirit and you check your bag yourself on a little machine, they scan your face there. There's a couple of different spots where it's done. But anyway, more than 230 U.S. airports have already rolled out facial recognition technology, according to the website of the U.S. Customs and Border Protection. On one hand, the government claims that facial recognition reduces paper tickets and that it can be more efficient for travelers, but facial recognition remains imperfect and controversial. Technical problems and reliability issues plague the initial rollout of the technology, and independent testing called into question the efficacy of facial recognition algorithms that perform less well on non-white faces. Clock that. There are also privacy and legal concerns. After all, it's not CBP collecting your facial recognition data directly, but the airline themselves, which is a good point. Because what are the airlines doing to protect that data? What are they doing with that data? How long are they keeping that data? Tons of things there that come to my mind. It says Delta began scanning the faces of departing passengers beginning in 2018. JetBlue followed after. While the airlines collect face scans to verify travelers as they board their flights, the face scans are passed to the government to check passengers against watch lists, such as those who overstay their visas. The government can hold on to these photos from anywhere between a few hours to several decades, depending on whether you're a citizen. The data is also stored in several government databases, which border agents can pull up when you're arriving or leaving the U.S. If you're American, however, opting out is easy and it's your right, they say. And the article basically goes on to say you may or may not see signs at airports that will say that you can opt out. But regardless of if you see a sign that says you can or you cannot, you do have the ability to opt out. As an American, you may need to voice your I don't want to do this or I don't agree to this or consent to this numerous times from arriving at the airport until you basically reach your seat. But right now it says only U.S. citizens and U.S. permanent residents can opt out of facial recognition on departing international flights. Anyone, regardless of their citizenship, can opt out of facial recognition for domestic U.S. flights. And so to opt out, you basically just tell them, I don't want to do that. And your wish is their command. I'm going to circle back to where it says the government, because that was a lot to unpack there. The government can hold on to these photos from anywhere between a few hours to several decades. What? That's not even a time frame. Like, that's insane. I don't even know what to say about that. Will you or will you not be opting out? Will you let the government have your photos from a few hours to several decades? What do you prefer? Let us know. What do you think? Several decades.
It's crazy. It's funny because, a lot of these things we use, they're probably how we got our identities. Like, for example, I use Clear. So when you go to the airport, it recognizes me either from my thumbprints or my picture. So I don't know. But when you were talking, that made me think about something else I saw. I think in the last week or this week, the NFL is going to start using facial recognition. However, it's going to be slightly different. It's only going to be for the people that work for the teams, the NFL teams. So I think before the game, they're going to take a selfie, and that way it's going to go to the database so they can see them throughout the game to make sure, I guess, pretty much the person that's supposed to be working there is actually working, and you could possibly prevent threats that way because somebody could, dress up like an employee. Oh, yeah, I work for the Cowboys or whatever and go do something malicious that they're not supposed to do. So I actually think that's pretty good because think about how hard it is to figure out if everybody's working. You have 70, 80,000 people in a stadium.
I think more so for safety purposes.
Well, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. And it's boiled into that. But I'm saying, like, I'm thinking about, like, we watch all these movies and stuff like that. And people do stuff like, okay, cool. I'm going to dress up as, If you go study your target enough, like, if I wanted to, let's say I want to physically penetrate target. And I just would, like, just walk around enough. And all I really would have to do is figure out what's the code that the team members use to get into the break room. And then that would give me access to probably just act like I'm in there working and figure out, like, how to, like, see if I could access a network or something. Target, don't put you on the bad list. I'm just saying. I know how. Because we just have to press that little code to get in as well. But I think this is one people really want us to touch on. Because they're going to, I've already had people commenting back on that video saying, we were right, y'all were wrong types. This video is being sponsored by Textual Consulting. Are you still struggling to get into cybersecurity? Are you not getting interviews? Do you have a bad resume? Or is it all the above? Well, if that's you, then we got you covered at Textual Consulting. My name is Henry Davis. I'm a career coach and a cybersecurity professional, and I've helped hundreds, maybe even thousands of people get into cybersecurity with my coaching and my content that you've seen in various places. Now, I specialize in specifically getting people in the blue team, that would be incident response or SOC analysts. I can cover everything from your entry level to your medium to your advanced skills and really help you outperform your resume. You don't believe me? Check out some of these testimonials that I've had from recent clients. So if you're interested, click the link in my bio, textualconsulting.com/offerings to see what offerings that we have available for you. Now, back to the show.
Dale.
Boost AI Pivot reportedly laying off 12,500 employees. Two Dell sales executives broke the news in an internal memo to employees on Monday. Dell is switching up its sales team to put a big emphasis on AI products and make changes on how it handles data center sales, which are in demand as AI firms look to train their latest models. We are getting leaner, says the internal memo from Dell's Bill Scannell and John Byrne. We're streamlining layers of management and reprioritizing where we invest. In a statement to the Register, Dell said, "We are combining teams and prioritizing where we invest across the company. We continue to evolve our business, so we're set up to deliver the best innovation value and service to our customers and partners." While Dell has confirmed the layoffs, it hasn't revealed how many employees are losing their jobs. SiliconANGLE reports that roughly 12,500 Dell employees are being laid off this week, citing an unnamed source. Okay, so at least this is a headline, but we don't know if this is how many they're actually laying off. Impacting employees are primarily on Dell's sales and marketing teams. A layoff tracker has since reported to the same number. Former Dell employee Ian Armstrong, who previously worked on the company's UX design team for 8 years, called the layoffs a bloodbath in a post, reporting that Dell has now laid off 24,500 staff in the past 15 months. Dell previously laid off 13,000 employees in the past fiscal year, with about half of those cuts occurring in February last year. As of February, Dell had about 120,000 employees, meaning this week's layoffs likely amount to a workforce reduction of roughly 10%. And before this, I actually was reading some stuff on like what Dell was doing. I think they said they have a way to approach like a $2.1 trillion market, and they were going to merge all their sales teams and do some other stuff so they could actually be leaner and make more money, which I always tell you, the company is always thinking about ones and zeros. It's not personal, but it should be personal. So, with that being said, it's always sales and marketing, the people that always make you a lot of money, but yet they're good at like a fish. And then right after them, it's like recruiters, like sales, marketing, recruiters are always on the chopping block. Why? I don't know. Because you need to get the talent and you need to make the money. That's crazy.
Everybody can't do AI. And I'm over it. Everybody cannot do AI. They'll do what you've been doing that's been allowing you to be this successful for this many years. I'm not hating on wanting to kind of, you know, follow the path a little bit, but I don't see that. Everybody can't pave the way and lead the way for AI. Like, do what you're doing and continue to do what you're doing.
You implemented so many legal things that have been put in place that AI can and cannot do. So many different industries don't even use AI yet because of that, because that data, they don't want anybody just to have access to that data. And so you have these large language learning module things. And what if it's compromised and poisoned? Is the AI still giving you what you're supposed to get? Or could you rely on a human to know the answer? Because they've been doing it and they're skilled at it. So this is the conundrum, and it'll be like this for a while. But with that being said, that means there will be a new subsector of IT and security roles with like AI infrastructure, securing AI, yada, yada, yada. So even though people try to make stuff look bleak, they're still going to need to be having people to make sure AI is working like it's supposed to, just like anything that we've always seen in tech. So don't necessarily feel like this is the end. Just keep it pushing.
I feel like for me, the thing that I'm most concerned about with AI, when it first came out, I was like, oh, AI, I love this. Oh my God, ChatGPT every day. But now I'm starting to like the implications. If you're using ChatGPT, for example, and you're putting in personal data, and ChatGPT is using the data that it's receiving to help further refine and, you know, perfect the algorithm, and that's when I start to get a little bit concerned, because I feel like I want to make sure, I want there to be diversity in these algorithms. I want them to be able to communicate with us as diverse as we are in the world. So I feel like in order for that to happen, we need to understand, what's going into these language models. People need to understand how to properly use them and how to use them safely, what data should be going to them, what data should not be going to them. So now that it's beginning to get more prevalent and it's a little bit easier for people to be able to digest and utilize, those are the things I'm kind of thinking about on the back end is this for us? Is this going to be biased for us? Is this going to be more difficult for us? So just things that are in the back of my head. And I think for sure they'll have to come up with some laws and regulations regarding AI and the models and the data and all that good stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I guess we got another healthcare breach with health equity. I didn't even know they had a data breach.
4.3 million. So health equity data breach affects 4.3 million people. So health equity has notified 4.3 million people following a March data breach that affects their personal and protected health information. In its notice filed with Maine's Attorney General, the Utah-based healthcare benefits admin said that although the compromised data varies by person, it largely consists of sign-up information for accounts and information about benefits the company administers. Health Equity said the data may include customer names, addresses, phone numbers, social security numbers, info about the person's employer and the person's dependent, if any, and some payment card information. I really don't like how they just said it largely consists of, and then they go in to say it consists of what it typically would consist of when there's a data breach. It says Health Equity provides employees at companies across the U.S. access to workplace benefits like health savings accounts and commuter options for public transit and parking. At its February earnings, Health Equity said it had more than 15 million total customer accounts. In its data breach notice, they advised that they discovered the data after finding unauthorized access in an unstructured data repository outside of its core network that contained customers' personal and health information. The notice said that the breach occurred because a user account of one of Health Equity's vendors, another vendor, was compromised and their password was stolen, which was used by the bad actor to access the data repository. And that's really it. Why was sensitive customer data outside of your network? What was it doing there?
Right. And I think for things like this, that's when we have to figure out, does health equity, has it always been this large, or did it acquire customers from somewhere?
Yeah.
And that's typically what happens if you have mergers and acquisitions. There are things that kind of go unchecked because they're looking at the money they can make, but they're not looking at the safety. Actually, I want to see if I can find that.
I just don't understand. I don't like how they literally say most of the data included or consists of sign up information. And then they go to say all of your details, your social, your address, your name, your date of birth. It even says some of the stolen data also included info about diagnosis and prescriptions. So Yeah. Trash.
Yeah. So that wage works. I forgot about they got wage works.
It is difficult when you acquire a company if they are in terrible standing security wise and you're not, to bring them to your standards and try to figure out how to mesh and merge, you know, two different systems, potentially multiple systems. So, I mean, I can have a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of grace for them behind all the acquisitions and understanding that, but they still need to do better. 4.3 million is crazy, insane. Guys, it's not if it'll happen to you, but when it will happen to you. So make sure you're protecting yourself.
Yeah, that was three mergers that I found along. So, and who's to say that Health Equity, they had standards, that their standards were like the standards that need to be followed for healthcare. And it looks like it was. So this is one of the things. Oh, yeah, we're going to offer you free monitoring and da, da, da. Many people don't want no free monitoring. Get them some free money. All that money y'all making, give it to them. Nah, I definitely agree. And I wanted to touch on this one, and then we probably get into some of the TikToks real quick. This was, I thought it was pretty interesting because, you know, I like talking about these. Tech CEOs are backtracking on return to office mandates. Just 3% want workers in the office full time. Many tech firms have spent the last 2 years summoning workers back into the office, all the while threatening them with layoffs. Even Zoom reverted to in-person working last year. But now, it looks like tech bosses have given up on their war on working from home. Now, I'm reading this because so many people in that Dell video were telling us, oh, the employees, they don't have any power. The employers have all the powers. Okay, they do, but it's more employees than there is employers. And so around the world and around the country, they start just saying, all right, bet, we'll just keep on moving around. We'll take less money to work where we want to. And some of y'all need us to do these jobs. Y'all will get the memo. Just 3% of tech firms are now asking their workers to go into the office full time, a significant drop from 8% last year. Flex Index analyzed the flexible work policies for 2,670 tech companies that collectively employ over, exactly. That's 2,600 compared to 11 million people. And it found that tech firms have conceded that flexible working is here to stay. In fact, 79% of the tech firms surveyed are fully flexible, up from 75% in 2023. Meanwhile, more and more firms are giving employees the choice of when and where they work. While 38% of tech firms had an employee's choice model in 2023, today that percentage has jumped to 56%. It's now the most popular policy among tech firms. In comparison, just 18% of firms are dictating which days their workers need to be in the office with a structured hybrid model. Tech companies are perhaps the most well-positioned to work from home, and in some cases have even created the tools to do so. It's why in 2020, the likes of Meta, Twitter, Shopify, more declared that they were going to leverage the new decentralized way of working for good. We're going to be the most forward-leaning company on remote work at our scale, with a thoughtful and responsible plan to how to do this. Zuckerberg boasted, claiming that half of Meta's employees will be working remotely within the next 5 to 10 years. That was until last year, when Zuckerberg declared that 2023 was going to be the year of efficiency and demanded workers return to work in the name of productivity while simultaneously scaring staff into complying with mass layoffs. Meanwhile, just 2 years after declaring that 60% of his workforce will operate remotely, Dell has now told workers they must go into the office 3 days a week if they want any hope of a promotion. Google, Salesforce, and Amazon are also among major tech companies that are cracking down on return-to-office policies and meeting resistance from workers. It's not just the tech world that defeated CEOs that give up on forcing their workers to return to their vertical towers. Separate research echoes that CEOs across the board have softened their stance on working from home. KPMG surveyed U.S. CEOs of companies turned over at least $500 million and found that just one-third expected a full return to office in the next 3 years. It's a complete 360 from their stance last year, when 62% of CEOs surveyed predicted that working from home would end by 2026. Why the change of heart? It's no secret that the rigid in-office policies haven't landed well with workers. Leaders are perhaps experiencing more resistance than they had anticipated. Amazon is perhaps the most documented example of how ugly the RTO battle can get. Around 30,000 employees signed a petition protesting the company's in-office mandate, and more than 1,800 pledged to walk out from their jobs to take a stand. The tech giant is still complaining that workers are dodging the three-day in-office mandate over a year after it was announced. Dropbox co-founder and CEO Drew Houston perfectly summed up the situation. With bosses struggling over RTO, they keep hitting the go back to 2019 button, and it's clear it's not working. So yeah, that was a lot. But that's just I wanted to do that one just for the naysayers and the haters, the tweeters and the leaders. I want to do that for all of them, just because like they just been all unruly in the comments of all of our videos, and I was like, y'all, whatever y'all want to say, man. Like I get it.
There's power in numbers. There's power when we come together and we stand together for a cause. Don't ever get it twisted. We just rarely ever come together and stand together for a cause.
Not only that, that just further backed up what I said about if it was so easy to offshore all the jobs, why would they even care about making people to come back in? They just send them out of India.
Yeah.
So
people want. I think that nobody I know who has had to go back into office is happy about it. Not one single person. They're not working any better. They're not working any faster. And they're also not even interacting with their coworkers.
Kind of just touched on something else, RTO. I'm going to share. I think the one you wanted to do was friend.
Ooh, can you do the video?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting now on TikTok.
Okay, so we are going to do rapid fire, which is basically where I say two things and we both have to choose the first thing that comes to mind. These are going to be tech related things, just a fun way for you to get to know some of our preferences. So let's go. Electric car or non-electric? Electric.
Electric.
I don't have an electric car, by the way, but if I had to pick, I'd pick electric. Google Drive or OneDrive?
Google Drive.
OneDrive for me. It just looks better. But I'm a Google Drive OG though.
I like Google Drive.
I'm 10, 15 years into Google Drive.
I like Google Drive. It was ahead of the game. It was better than OneDrive for a long time. So yeah, Google Drive for me.
iOS or Android? iOS.
Android, even though I have an iOS device.
Python or JavaScript? JavaScript.
Python. Easier scripting language for me.
Virtual reality or augmented reality?
Augmented.
Same. Windows or Linux? Linux, even though I never really use it like that, but it's just better and cooler.
Linux, most everything people use is on the back end of Linux, honestly.
Instagram or Twitter? Twitter.
Twitter.
Amazon Alexa or Google Home?
Google Home.
Google Home for sure. Google know what you're talking about. Alexa don't. I'll leave it at that. AWS or Azure?
You know what? Unpopular opinion, but I probably would say Azure.
Okay. I'm going to say Azure too. Never even play with AWS.
I have, but Azure is kind of like similar naming conventions as you'll see on Windows. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that sums up this session of Rapid Fire.
I was going to message you. Should I add one to that?
Oh, yeah. What you got?
I can't think of it. I was gonna say like the Never Ever Mets or another show to get you to pick something. I'll probably say Aaron.
Lord. I still didn't finish it. I might just watch the reunion just to close that chapter out of my life. Yep.
Guys, we are so cooked. We are living in Black Mirror. This founder spent $1.8 million on the domain name friends.com. Just the domain name for this product. Please watch this commercial and let me know if you think it's going to pop off.
I'm so out of breath. We made it. I don't know how to woo very good.
That's fair. All right,
let me show you how to game, bro, okay?
Oh, come on. Come on.
Come on, man. I hate this game.
Take notes, baby. Oh, man, you guys suck.
Let's go. Let's go.
What? How did you do?
I know the effects are crazy. It's dank. I could eat one of these every day. Oh, sorry, I got you messy.
It's really nice up here. How'd you find this place?
I don't know. I just kind of like to come up here to be by myself. I've never known anybody else. I mean, besides her.
She goes everywhere with you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Guess I must be doing something right, though.
I guess so. We'll see.
Okay, so if you couldn't see what was going on, so they had this like necklace on, right? And it's basically like AI in the necklace. And so it's always listening. Like if you have Siri on your phone or if you got a Google Home, it's always listening. And so, but it's communicating back to you via text message. So like they were doing stuff and they would like get a message. Like basically if someone were to say like, I'm feeling sad right now, then the necklace could respond back and say, oh, cheer up. Hope you have a better day. Tell a funny joke or something along those lines. But it's going to come to you in the form of a text message. So when I saw the video on TikTok, I like was like, oh, I have to put this on the list. Like, we have to talk about this. I'm utterly disgusted and interested equally about the product. Like, it's disgusting. But like at the same time, the same level of disgust I have, like I'm so interested in it. I don't.
So you want a friend?
Yeah, like not, no. I'm just interested to see, like, I want to use it intentionally. Like, actually intentionally say stuff around it to see.
They can have her on the next commercial.
But no, I looked at their website and they don't have enough information on there. Like, they give you the minimalist amount of data that you could ever have for a product that is listening to you all the time, talking to you. They don't tell you, you can't turn the thing off. They don't tell you how long they're keeping the data. They don't tell you, there's no information about it that I could find outside of like a couple of social media pages that the website really just links you to in that commercial. But I just thought it was like so disgustingly cool and freaky at the same time. It definitely gives Black Mirror vibes. So what do you think?
You know what? I've never seen Black Mirror. I just heard tales about it.
Not one episode?
Not one episode.
Don't worry. I recommend a few.
I mean, I saw that it was like some weird stuff going on. I don't know. Like when the show was like that, I kind of like, you know, y'all got it. So I don't know. Let me get into this one. It should be louder because I didn't fix the other thing last time. There we go. All right. Tell me if you can hear it.
I laid off 19,000 people at my former employer today. I got laid off from there last year and I worked there for 24 years. And something about today, like I handled my layoff quite well. I mean, I'm not saying I wasn't sad or didn't have any emotions. Of course I did. After 24 years getting laid off, you know, that sucks. But I kind of have handled it pretty well emotionally. Specifically, I've been like a lot better at navigating it than I thought I would be. But today, like a year plus later, seeing the announcement today of 19,000 people losing their jobs, and not only that, they like decimated the benefits package for the people that are still there. And I guess I have a feeling they're going to cut people's pay and all kinds of stuff, which is just horrible. And it enraged me in a way today that I can't even explain how angry I was. I worked in my backyard on some landscaping for like 2.5 hours. I cut my hand. I broke my power washer. I aggressively pruned a lot of trees in my backyard. But when I finally like kind of came down and, you know, relaxed and chilled out a little bit and like felt the rage dissipate, it was the news articles, the news articles,
and the comments from the C-suite
that enraged me because
it's sort of like
basically the emperor has no clothes.
And I know I wasn't the only one working there.
Raised the flags on certain things.
You know,
it just
have a bad taste, have a bad taste on my mouth about the whole thing today.
And I'm sad about people losing their job in a job market that already sucks
shit.
Corporate greed.
Two thumbs down.
So yeah, I could identify with her a little bit because technically I worked for Intel for like a couple of months, and then they split, and then McAfee went their separate ways, and then the next year, the beginning of 2018, McAfee did these layoffs. Just a lot of people got laid off. People that have been working there for years, you know what I'm saying? The people who watched the channel before, they've heard me talk about the day I got laid off and my co-worker. Something you will see out of a movie. I promise you. If I'm lying, I'm flying, like they say. I walk past him. He's got a box of his stuff and he's saying good luck. So I definitely could feel for her because at least now a lot of these people are remote. It ain't as bad. Like, you like get laid off?
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna go to sleep. But when you like...
I didn't even think about that. Times have changed.
It's a joke. I don't know if it's... I think it's D.L. Hughley. I gotta find it. I might try to insert it right here.
You fired brother, we'd be mad for a different reason. How come you didn't call me at home, motherfucker? You knew I was fired yesterday. Making me burn up all my goddamn gas.
No.
And that's what that made me think about. It's like, why y'all just couldn't tell me why I was at home? I would have brought y'all stuff to you. Had me rushing to get to work just for me to be laid off.
I honestly think it's as petty as just wanting to get your badge.
It's always, you know, company reorganizing. And one, because they just didn't know what they were doing. They were spending money in the wrong ways. Like, they went and made like a state-of-the-art sock and let go of people. I still, to this day, don't even know how they decided, like, who they let go, because it didn't really make any sense. We had no training. There was really no way to grade who was good at what, because we didn't really do much. So that whole thing was just pretty interesting to me. And it's funny because it's always happening to the employees who like the company and want to do the best job. It's really happening to the people who don't really care. They like, oh, whatever. It is what it is. They ain't caring about getting laid off. They don't care that much about the company pride. So I bet that triggered her. It's like, dang it, I really like that company. I worked there for almost 25 years. And the fact they laid me off, I'm mad all over again because they did the people worse than they did me. They cut their benefits. They did all this kind of stuff. Like, that's the stuff. It's like, you just always got to watch out for yourself. People like that with Intel, they probably had some good stocks. And hopefully some of them did smart things with their stocks and did some other stuff. But that is tragic because a lot of them people live in California too. But that was like 15,000 people they said they laid off.
Yep.
That's a lot of people to lay off.
So. No, was it 19? I think it was 19.
Probably so. Yeah, it probably was. But that's crazy. What do you have to say about that? Because I know, like, these things are, like, very different, like, when they happen.
I think that layoffs are a tough topic. And I think that when, like, getting laid off is one thing, but getting laid off with no severance is insane. It's trifling. That's what I think. I think it's trifling. I think it reflects poorly on the company. I think that if you're going to lay them off, you might as well take care of them on their way out the door. It's not like you're about to have to pay them for 56 more weeks. So, you know,
yeah.
I do think that if you're going to lay people off, at least give them something to kind of help hold them over. People have kids, health issues. It's a lot that goes into it just outside of the pay. You still got health insurance. You still got stock. You know, you still have a ton of other things that you can still benefit from as a part of your severance package.
Nah, I agree. That's the type of activity that make you say, I'll slap your nose off. Well, they've been killing me with that line from Divorce in the Black, I'll slap your nose off. I ain't never thinking about telling somebody I'll slap their nose off. That's a hard slap when you think about it. Whatever saying that's been in our mind, we'll just end it with that one. So yeah, I know which saying that I'm gonna say.
I'm brain farting. I don't have a good one. You go first.
Mine's simple. I actually just rewatched Drumline last night, I think, or yesterday, and I thought about when Charles stood up on the bus and said, "My name's Charles, and I play the tuba." And then he told me something. Man, I thought I was talking to myself for a second. And when he walked over to Devin, when he talking to the, I guess they were supposed to be Deltas or whatever. Deltas in a dance line. He said, "How y'all doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? You good, man?" And Devin like, "You blocking." He said, "Man, I came over here because I was concerned about you."
Well, so. You said Drumline, and that made me think about Megan Good. What is it? Stump the Art. And I was thinking about when they were strolling, when they were coming out online, and he was like, "No, go ahead." And then was like, "Showtime." Neo is quite a character in anything he plays. So I can't even be mad at him.
I'm surprised you didn't say the funniest one. Pork chop with extra gravy. Yeah. That reminds me. It's a channel I came upon that I like. It's a different type of podcast. It's called Blackbusters. And all they do is they review all these movies we know, like our black staples and black households. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's different.
And, what's it called? I had to say,
Blackbusters. So like Blockbuster, but Blackbusters. Yeah. So that one is called. But guys, this was a short one. I think the next one will be, I don't know how long it's going to be, but hopefully we can get downtown and actually do it without any hiccups. This is like every time recording is at least about 15 to 30 minutes of like setup. That's like probably like taken away from recording time, but we kind of got it concise and cover some good topics. And I got to put it in the description though. Textual talk questions, email address. That email address will be used for us to answer questions you guys questions you guys want us to answer on the show. So I specifically made it for y'all so y'all have a way to reach out to us in a unique way. So I'm going to make sure I share that, put it in all descriptions. So therefore, we eventually have a part of a show where we can at least read one of those, hopefully like every week or something like that. Yes. You got anything you want to leave the viewers with, Destiny?
No, I don't. Stay fly and stay high. Stay smart. Do your thing. I'm about to go on a 2-week vacation, so I'm just got positive vibes. I hope everybody's doing well and you're having a great summer and you're in the book studying and upskilling and leveling up. That's what I got.
Yep. And shout out to the parents that's happy that their kids started school again. I know y'all happy. Y'all got tired of them using out of air, needing out of food. So
it definitely is.
All that outside. But appreciate y'all, man, for rocking with us. Until next time, we out. Peace.